in Chagiga. In Chagiga. Chavav. No, later. Okay, we're going to start again the Mishnah, even though we learned a little bit into the Gemara already. But we'll just start the Mishnah again. But you, it's 26:82. Yeah, I know you have 8:3, but we're going to start.
We'll start at the Mishnah, right?
We're going to start again at the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says like this. Again, we're talking about strictnesses of Hegdish over Truma, strictness of Truma over Hegdish. Now the Mishnah is going to say two strictnesses of Truma over Hegdish. So again, this we learned already, going to go quickly. Tax agents that entered the house of a guy to collect taxes that he owes the king. Or Ganovim Shechziru Asakelim, Ganovim that stole things and decided to give them back. Namanim Lema, they're believed to say, Lo Nagana, we didn't touch. Meaning, either what the in the house means, they're believed to say, we didn't touch everything in the house. We touched only these things. And those things would become tummy and everything else not. Or the Ganovim that stole a barrel, an earthenware barrel, that only becomes tummy from the inside, not from the outside. And they said, listen, we never touch the inside of the vessel. So the din is the nemanim. They're trusted as far as Hegdish goes, but not as far as Truma goes. And then the Mishnah says, of Yerushalayim in the city of Yerushalayim, nemanim al HaKedish, Amiratim are believed for Hegdish, to say that they're not Tomei, but not for Truma. And B'shasa Regal, at the time of Yom Tiv, they're believed Afala Truma, even for Truma. They're believed even for Truma. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, but Amino, I'll ask you a question. It says, Agaboyim, Shenichnun Sultei Chabayis, the tax agents that entered the house, the Gemara says, Habayis Kula Tomei. The whole house is Tomei. Says, Mamish, a contradiction. Here we say, in our Mishnah, we said 26:83. The Gemara asks a question like this. In our Mishnah, it said it then that the tax collectors are believed. What's wrong? Wrong Gemara. That they are believed. In the other Mishnah it says they're not believed and the whole house is Tomei. So how do you reconcile these two opinions? So the Gemara says, Lekashi is not a question. If a guy is together with them, checking out the house, everything is Tomei. Okay, our Mishnah that says they are believed, is speaking when there's no guy with them. And the Gemara is going to explain. The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, if there's a goy going together with the tax collectors, they're believed to say we didn't enter the house. But they're not believed to say we entered the house, but we didn't touch. Meaning as follows. The din is, tax collectors go into the house. The question is, they're amiratzim. Okay, because most scholars didn't become tax collectors. Okay, so they're basically assumed to be amarets. So our Mishnah says, if they go into the house, they're believed to say, this I touched, this I didn't touch. Therefore, this is Tomei, and this is not Tomei. The other Mishnah says, the whole house becomes Tomei. Okay, that means they're not believed to say what they touched and didn't touch. So the Gemara answers, when a goy accompanies them in the tax collection, everything is tummy. But when a guy doesn't go with them, then they're believed to say we didn't touch.
Didn't we learn two people we don't trust, the butchers and tax collectors?
No.
We don't believe them.
Butchers and
tax collectors.
I remember that.
Butchers have to have
in America.
It's America. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference if a guy is with them or not? If a guy is with the Jewish tax collectors, they're not believed. If they're not with them, they are believed. What's the difference? So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar. There's one answer from Rabbi Yechon and one answer from Rabbi Lazar. Chad Amar once says, "Emes nochri alayim." They're afraid of the guy, meaning when a guy walks with them. They're afraid, like he says over here, the expression, he might punish them for sloth, meaning laziness. Meaning, when a guy is with them, they're going to really search the house well. Okay? So if they're searching the house well, then everything becomes tummy. If there's no guy, you know the way tax collectors, Jewish, they're lazy. So they're not going to go look very well. So what they touch, they touch. What they don't touch. Or the other one says, V'chadam, and the other opinion says, Amos Malchus Alayu. They're afraid the guy is going to snitch on them to the king.
Therefore, they will search more and more.
Therefore, they're going to search more. So when the guy is with them, they're going to ransack the whole house. So the Gemara says, my benayu, what's the difference if the reason is laziness or the guy is going to snitch? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu nochishen achoshuv, a non-prominent guy. Meaning, a non-prominent guy won't punish them for being lazy. But he can snitch to the king anyway. So that's the difference if you believe him. So therefore, the Gemara basically said, this ends this piece of Gemara. The Gemara said like this, tax collectors are believed if they didn't go with a guy. They went themselves into the house. Now, the Mefarshim explained over here, based on the later Gemara, the Gemara says, in a different Masechta, the Gemara says they're only believed to say we didn't touch if nobody saw him go into the house. That means they went into the house, they said they went into the house, but we didn't touch. But if people saw them going into the house, the poskim, they're not believed to say we didn't touch.
Touch what, Rabbi?
Touch the stuff in the house, because by touching it, they make it tummy.
Why is this?
Why
would they go in touching stuff in the house? They want to collect
tax collector.
Money or
no,
tax.
But they want to collect goods, checks. They're not talking about nowadays credit cards. Talking about collecting goods. There's a din like this. The Amoris is not believed to say we didn't touch. Why do you believe them to say they didn't touch? Because we don't even know they went into the house. How do we know they went into the house? Because they said I went into the house. So it's what's called Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitin. If you believe them they went into the house, then you have to believe them that they didn't touch. Either you believe them or you don't believe them. If you're not believing them, then how do you know they went into the house? The only way you know they went into the house is because they said I went into the house. So if you believe in that they went into the house, then you have to believe in that they didn't touch.
What's this term called?
Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter. The mouth that forbid is the mouth that permits. But what happens though if they're witnesses that saw him go into the house, then the poskim write, they're not believed to say we didn't touch. Because in Amar, it's not believed.
If they're honest enough to say they went into the house, you believe
them. In other words, if you believe in them that they went into the house, then you must believe them that they didn't touch. You can't believe them sometimes not. Okay.
So, somehow we assume that they are going into the house and everything in the house is tahor, not tarnished.
And then by itself.
Yeah, this is
it's going into the house of a chaver.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're going to the house of our mother, so everything's coming anyway. We're speaking, they're going into a house which is presumably tahor.
Right.
Because of the house of a chaver.
Uh-huh.
Now the question is, what did they touch, what they didn't touch? So the Gemara says, if a guy is with them, we assume they touch everything. Right? So they have everything's tummy. But Amish, they're speaking, nobody went with them. They went themselves. So over there, if you're believing them that they went into the house, you have to believe them that they didn't touch. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Gemara goes into an interesting concept over here. V'chein aganovim, what? No, I have water.
Soda.
And I have water. I don't mix drinks. V'chein aganovim shechziru sekelim. Okay, 26a3, for those that have the English second column. V'chein aganovim shechziru hakelim. It says over there in the Gemara that the ganovim that returned the kelim are believed to say we didn't make them tummy. Now again, but they're touching it. It means is they didn't. They say they didn't stick their hands inside of the keli. So the Gemara says, "But Aminu, I'll ask you a question." It says a ganovim shenichnasu l'teich habayis, ganovim that went into a house, ain a tummy alamukem drisus ragal a ganovim. Only the things where the ganavim walked are tame. But otherwise, that means everything that they touched, or anything that's in their way, we assume is tame. Okay? So the Gemara says, Here we're saying, though, that they're believed to say that they didn't contaminate the things. They didn't make them tummy. In other words, our Mishnah says, if Ganovim are giving back things, and they say it's not tummy, then it's not tummy. But a different Mishnah says, when a Ganov walks into a house to steal, everything in his path is automatically tummy. So how can our Mishnah believe him to say we didn't make it tummy? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Pinchas Mishmei Derav, Sha'asu Tshuva, speaking they did Tshuva. Meaning like this. The Gemara is going to prove that our Mishnah means that they did Tshuva. A Ganav, you're right. The Gemara says, a Ganav walking to a house, everything in his path is tummy. Because a Ganav, number one, is not trusted. And the simple proof of it is he's stealing. How trusted can he be already? Our Mishnah that says we trust the Ganif, who's giving back things to say they didn't make a Tameh, it's speaking when they did Tshuva. And if they did Tshuva, they're not going to lie.
They did Tshuva, we can't call them Ganavim.
Well, that's why he says, Ganavim, that returned it. That means, and the Gemara says, they can now even prove it to you. Because what does our Mishnah say? The Ketani, it says, Shechziru es hakelim. They returned the kelim. Meaning, it doesn't say that they were forced to give it back or the kelim were taken back. What does it say? They returned the kelim. What does it mean they returned the kelim? They did tshuva. So the Gemara says, Shema Mino, it's a good proof.
Rabbi, what I can't understand is how you put a tax collector and make him unholy, a robber, or make everything in your house tummit. I've been paying taxes since 1942. 63 years I've been paying taxes. No. And I never saw a tax collector.
You should give the tax money to the shul, it would be much better.
I give the shul. Right?
No, I'm saying all the tax money.
No.
Okay.
And then I'd see a tax collector. I mean,
the tax collector and Ganif is two separate people.
That doesn't exist.
But the Gemara says, one second, let's not waste time. There's an assumption that illiterate people are tamei because they're not careful in the laws of impurity. If they're tamei, anything they touch is impure. The question over here, are they believed to say they didn't touch? So the Mishnah says, for Hegdish, they're believed. So the Gemara asks, from different cases, we see they're not believed. So the Gemara differentiates. Sometimes they're believed, sometimes they're not believed. But if the Ganif is returning a stolen object, meaning he's doing tshuva, so then he's believed that he didn't lie. And then it says, "Ubirushalayim nemanim alakedish." In the Mishnah said adin that in Yerushalayim they're believed for Hegdish. Meaning when it comes to Hegdish, in Yerushalayim, the Jews are always believed to say it's not Tamei. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Braisim, that in Yerushalayim they're trusted, and it means even not only on small kelim, small utensils that we learned already before in the Gemara that they used to cook the meats of the karbonis, so they're believed, but even big kelim they're believed on, because Amiratim are always believed against when it comes to Yerushalayim. And we learned before v'kol kach lama. This was brought down in the Gemara before. Why? Why do we believe him? Why are they so lenient that you believe in Amaretz when it comes to Hegdish that it's not Tamei? She says, Shein Eisin Kivshein is Birushalayim. It says like this. They were not allowed to make, this was brought down before. You're not allowed to have ovens, kilns, in Yerushalayim. Because the smoke would pollute the city and make it black. And Yerushalayim wanted to be Yerushalayim is supposed to be a beautiful city. So it was very hard to find earthenware utensils in Yerushalayim. If you're not going to believe that Ma'aretz and everything is going to become Tamei, where in the world are people going to get Kalim to cook Hegdishin? So the Chachamim, again, this is rabbinic Tumah, don't forget. It's only maybe the Amaretz is Tamei. It's a rabbinic Tumah. So therefore, the Chachamim said, we're going to lift the ban in Yerushalayim out of necessity that any Hegdish Keli, the Dama Arit says, is not Tamei, we believe in that it's Tamei, not Tamei. Obviously, if he says it's Tamei, it's Tamei. But we're talking, if he says it's not tummy, we believe him. Why? Because there's a shortage of utensils, of vessels, and if we're going to be too strict, people won't be able to survive. Okay, now the Gemara says, B'shas HaRegel, but in the time of Yom Tif, they're believed even for Truma. And Amoritz, when it comes to Yom Tif, is believed to say the Truma is not Tomei. So the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from? In other words, why did the Chachamim were lenient when it comes to Truma, that in Yom Tif they're believed? So the Gemara says, Mino Ani Mili, where do I know this from? Amir b'shoban Levi, b'shoban Levi said, Amir Krad, the Pasuk says like this. But Yosef called Ish Yisrael Eloir, the whole nation speaks about Yerushalayim. Okay, it's in Shaftim, this Pasuk. That the whole nation gathered to the city, meaning to Yerushalayim, Ki Ish Echad, like one man, Chaveirim, all Chaveirim. So what does that Pasuk teach us? That on Yom Tif, when all the Jews gathered to Yerushalayim, what does the Pasuk call them? Chaveirim. So if the Pasuk calls them Chaveirim, so the Chachamim said, if the Torah calls them Chaveirim, if the Navi in Shaftim calls them Chaveirim, then we can assume that they have a din of purity on Yom Tov.
Why are we allowed to take an example from a one-time occurrence? Or why can't we assume this is just a one-time occurrence and doesn't apply to other times?
It says there was a reason for it. Rashi explains the reason for it here. The reason for it is, like it says, on Yom Tif, you're supposed to be united. Ki ish echad. You're going to start the friendship, you're Tomei, you're not Tomei. You're Tomei, you're not Tomei. What type of commodity is that? It's not going to be a very great unity. So based on this Pasuk, that the Torah calls them, on Yom Tif, Chaveirim, the Chachamim said, you know what? Let's show the camaraderie and unity of the Jewish people. We're going to make everybody on the same level. It's not stam as a, you know. Another thing, it's being on different reasons. Other Mefarshim learn the reason why the Chacham lifted the ban on Truma during Yom Tif, because everybody had to come to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're Tameh and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you get killed. So even the Amaratzim purified themselves before coming Yom Tif to Yerushalayim. Right? So the Rambam writes, if they were pure for coming to the Beis HaMikdash, so obviously while they were in Yerushalayim already, they were careful not to become Tameh. So therefore we can assume that on Yom Tif, they're all tar, because they had to purify themselves anyway before coming into the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we assume that they're not Tameh. So in other words, either the reason is to show the unity of the Jewish people, that everybody's the same, or there's an assumption very strong that that people purify themselves because they have to go into the Beis HaMikdash anyway. If they have to purify themselves for the Beis HaMikdash, so then we assume that they're tar for Truma. But the interesting thing is over here, Hegdish is more lenient than Truma. Because for Hegdish, they believe the whole year in Yerushalayim. And then Truma, they're only believed on Yom Tif. Plus, the first thing is that the Gaboyim and the Ganavim are believed when it comes to Hegdish, that they didn't make a Tomei, and for Truma, they're not believed. And like we learned before, why is Hegdish more lenient than Truma, if Hegdish is stricter? Because we didn't want the Jews making their own Beis HaMikdash, or because of the severity of Hegdish, they were taken more careful. They didn't play games with Hegdish. Okay, now starts another very interesting Mishnah. From here to the end of the parak, by the way, to the end of the Masechta is relatively easy. Now, the Gemara says like this. Until now we learned that on Yom Tif, you trust in Am Haaretz. That even what he touches is not Tomei. Correct? The question is, can you sell this stuff now after Yom Tif? In other words, was the ban against Amoritz lifted on Yom Tov, but the second Yom Tov is over, the ban is back. Or once it was good to begin with, we let it good for the rest of the time. And this is the Mishnah is going to say is an argument between the Yud and the Chachamim. The Mishnah says, HaPesech es Chavisei, if a guy opens his barrel of wine, I'm going to soon explain why Rashi over here says it's wine and not oil. Okay, if a guy opened his wine during Yom Tov, or HaMaschel B'Isasi Al Gav Regel, and he started a new batch of dough, he made dough, you know, for bread, whatever, in Yerushalayim during Yom Tov, and after Yom Tov you have remainder, you have leftover stuff. So the din is Rabbi Yehuda Emer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yigmer, you're allowed to, the Chaver is allowed to sell it after Yom Tov too. Meaning the case of the Mishnah is as follows. There's a Chaver who's a storekeeper. He's a scholarly storekeeper. During Yom Tov, all the Jews are in Yerushalayim. So everybody's coming into the store, everybody's touching everything. Nevertheless, we said in the Mishnah before that you believe in Amoritz that everything is tahor, if he says so.
But he's a chaver. The owner...
Right, but the question is, the Amoritz shoppers...
Did they ruin it?
Did they ruin the stuff in the store? Now, the chaver, because he's a chaver, makes sure normally everything in the store is tahor. He doesn't let Tamidik people touch it. Because then he's going to make stuff in the store tummy. Now, Yom Tov, we said, everybody's categorically pure, kosher. But now, so they open the bottle of wine, and Amoritzim are taking wine to buy from this big barrel. So now the question is, Yom Tov's over, there's a half a barrel left. Can the Chaver sell this wine as pure wine after Yom Tov is over?
I think you're looking for a no.
So Rabbi Yehuda says, Yigmer, you could do it. You could continue selling it. Because it's tahor. And after Yom Tov, the Amoritz didn't touch it. Don't forget. If Yom Tov is over and the Amoritz touches it, then it for sure becomes tamei. But he only touched it on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, we said, it's tahor. Because the ban was lifted. So now after Yom Tov, now that Yom Tov is over, can the Talmud Chacham continue selling the stuff as pure stuff? So Rabbi Yehuda says you could. Chachamim Eimrim lo yigmur. You can't sell it anymore. Because now the assumption is completely tamei. And the Gemara is going to explain the whole logic and the reasoning of the argument over here. The question over here, as I said, is followed, just to explain this a little bit before we actually get into the Gemara. There's no question that if the stuff became tummy before Yom Tov, the stuff stays tummy on Yom Tov. There's no question. The only question is when an Amoritz touches something on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, I mean the whole 7 days or eight, well, in Israel, 7 days. Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, whatever. We lift the ban of Tumah from the Amoritz. So now the question is, what did we do? Did we deactivate the ban? In other words, we say that the Amoritz touching it doesn't make it Tumah. And then, after Yom Tov, it remains Tahar, because it was never touched anymore. And if it was Tahar and Yom Tov, then it has to be tahor after Yom Tov. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Chachamim said no. It's not the pshat, it's not tamei. The law of tumah doesn't apply on Yom Tov. The second Yom Tov is over, it's back to where the Amoritz touched it, it's tamei. I on Yom Tov, when he touched it, it wasn't tamei. That's not because of the Amoritz's touching, because we lifted the ban of tumah on Yom Tov.
So it's whether or not the law is changing or the product is changing.
Correct. We learned a similar halacha. And Shabbos and Amoritzes believe that he doesn't lie. You know, if Amoritz says, I tithed my food, you come into Amoritz's house on Shabbos, and he says, I tithed my food, on Shabbos you could eat it. The second Shabbos is over, you can't eat it anymore.
Rabbi.
The question was, but Shabbos I ate it. And nothing happened. He said it was tight, I ate it. So the same food that he says was tight, right after Shabbos he can't eat it anymore. Why? Because they lifted the ban because of Shabbos. The second Shabbos is over, the ban goes back to where it was. He's not believed anymore to say what he said, even though he said it on Shabbos. But we only believe in what he says on Shabbos for Shabbos, not for after Shabbos.
Who gave these, I don't want to use a dirty word, I'm going to show it, the right to rule everything kosher and non-kosher, kosher and non-kosher? Who gave them the right? Really?
Sometimes yes, sometimes
no. Oh, I thought people like you did that.
Yeah.
Even Torah says on there.
I don't know how to read.
The rabbis, when they were learning, they flipped the coin. Heads was kosher, tails was treif.
Really?
Yeah. The Gemara continues.
I'm going to look for that in the Gemara.
Okay, keep looking. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Yosef, Ravami, Rav Yitzchok, Nafke, Ravami, the Gemara tells a story. Ravami and Rav Yitzchok, Nafke, Rav Yitzchok, the blacksmith, was sitting, Akila, the Rav Yitzchok, Nafke. He was sitting on the door. These two rabbis, Ravami and Rav Yitzchok, Nafke, were sitting together on Rav Yitzchok, Nafke's porch. Okay, they were
talking,
but they didn't talk about who knows what. They talked learning. So one of the two said, they were learning our Mishnah. These rabbis, when they sat and talked together, they were learning. They learned our Mishnah. And they said, one of them said, now, can we leave this food from Yom Tif, the Amoritz is believed on? Can we leave it for another Yom Tif? We know that after Yom Tov it becomes Tummy again. They're talking according to the Chachamim. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, for sure it's not Tummy. For sure you can leave it for another Yom Tov, it never became Tummy. According to the Chachamim, that the food of an Amoritz is only kosher, Tohar, and Yom Tov. But right after Yom Tov it becomes Tummy again. Can we leave it for the next Yom Tov? And it will remain in the pure state. We know that for right after Yom Tov, the Chachamim say you can't sell it anymore because it's Tamei. But what happens instead of selling it for after Yom Tov, let's say this happened on Pesach. We're going to leave it from Pesach. Nobody's going to touch it until Shavuos. And Shavuos is just going to be Tahar again.
It'll be rotten.
Depends
too.
Who you follow.
No, this is I'm thinking according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, for sure it's not a problem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Tahar, it stays Tahar. Even not in Yom Tov you could sell it. Even not in Yom Tov it's not Tomei. But here we're talking about according to the Chachamim that says that even on Yom Tov it's Tahar, but right after Yom Tov it's not Tahar anymore.
But comes Yom Tov, it's again Tahar.
So the question is, can we leave it for the next Yom Tov?
If it's not touched.
If it's not touched.
Why not? Unless the status would automatically go to Tamei
as soon as
the Yom Tov is finished.
Good
well,
question.
Isn't that what the Chachamim hold?
Automatically, but if it's put away in a shack where the guy never touches it.
So that's the question. The question is like this. I've said before, something that was Tamei for sure before Yom Tov does not become Tahar on Yom Tov. That's a given. Right? Something that was Tamei cannot become Tahar on Yom Tov. The question is, something that wasn't touched by an Amoritz until Yom Tov, does it become Tamei? So he said, no, it doesn't. Okay, it's Tahar. Now, the Chachamim say, the second Yom Tov is over, it becomes Tamei. No.
Oh, just automatically.
Automatically it becomes Tamei, the Chachamim say. Rabbi Yehuda would agree, if you touch it, it becomes Tamei. The Chachamim say, the second Yom Tov is over, it's automatically Tamei. So based on that, you can leave it for the next Yom Tov. Because it became Tamei, and then on Yom Tov is not going to become pure again? Or do we say what you said? That the fact that the Rama Aritz put it away on Yom Tov, in a way that he's careful not to touch it at all, maybe we could be lenient, that it never became Tameh. Why? Because he put it away on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, for the next Yom Tov. So it never had an opportunity to become Tameh.
It's like the previous case, with the storekeeper, Zachachom.
No, the question is, this is even according to the Chachamim, that even according to the Chachamim that hold, right after Yom Tov it becomes Tameh again, the question is, can you put it away for next Yom Tov or not? And that's what he said. Amar le'idach, so the other one answered him, Yadako memashmashin, but everybody's touching it, v'ata martin, you're going to say, Yanichena le'rega, but put it away for next Yom Tov. It becomes tummy right after Yom Tov. How can you put it away for next Yom Tov? Amalei, so he says, and on this Yom Tov, not everybody touched it. What are we saying? We remove the ban of Tumah on Yom Tov. So the question is, if I'm removing the ban on Yom Tov, can it help from Yom Tov to Yom Tov?
If it's not touched.
If it's not touched.
Rabbi,
one second. Thing. Amalei, so he answered. You can't compare this. Bishleim ado idna, if you're talking about an Yom Tov itself, Tumas Amaretz Beragla Rachmona Tahara. The Tumah of an Amaretz an Yom Tov, the Torah says, is pure. So therefore, an Yom Tov, it never became Tameh. But if they touch it an Yom Tov, right after Yom Tov, the Chachamim say, it does become Tameh. So he says, Alahash to Tameh, but now that it becomes Tameh, how could you put it away for Yom Tov?
You can't.
Well, that's what he says. The question is, can you or can't you?
Isn't there a rabbi big enough to do it?
No.
Rabbi, where is this taking place? In Jerusalem or anywhere in the world?
Bovel.
I don't know what
that is. Iraq. Yeah, this was written in Iraq.
Oh, my.
Bovel.
Oh, my.
But they discussed Jerusalem, right? I mean, they
that's
discussed...
2,000, this is 2,000 years
ago. Yeah, but this is talking in Bavel. The Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Rav Ami lived in...
2,000 years ago.
Does it still happen today?
But Rav Ami, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha maybe lived in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah,
but they talk about Aliyah LaRegel in
when Mashiach came?
He comes.
But they're talking about it in Bavel, about Yerushalayim, right. There's only talking about Yerushalayim, of course.
That's right.
I'm going to send Nathan after all. That's how it should never happen.
Okay. So the Gemara asked the question, and there's two opinions so far. The question is, can the stuff be put away, and according to the Chachamim, that hold, right after Yom Tov, the stuff is tummy, you cannot sell it. The question is, can we put it away for the next Yom Tov or not? So one rabbi seemed to imply you could, and the other rabbi implied this, that you can't. So the Gemara says, Neimer k'tanoi, maybe this is an argument of two opinions of the Mishnah. Why? The Tanicha, the one b'rais, it says, Yanichen l'regel achad, that you are allowed to put it into the next away for the next Yom Tov. He's helping him with that. The Tanya Idoch and another Braisa says, "Lo yanichena l'regalach." You cannot put it away for next Yom Tov. So Lachera, we say clearly, there's two opinions. If you could put it away for next Yom Tov or not, one opinion says you could put it away for next Yom Tov, and one opinion says you cannot put it away for next Yom Tov. So isn't that the argument we just discussed? So the Gemara says, "No, no, that's not the argument." One b'rais is Rabbi Yehuda, and one b'rais is the Chachamim. But that doesn't mean we're asking a question according to the Chachamim that hold. The stuff becomes Tameh right after Yom Tov. Can you put it away for next Yom Tov or not? That's the question. These two b'raises, one is Rabbi Yehuda that you could, one is the Chachamim that you can't. He says, like, Hadik Tani Anichena, The one that says you could put away for next Yom Tif, Rabbi Yehuda, is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That said in the Mishnah, you could. Hadik Tani Lo Yenichano, the opinion that says you cannot put it away for next Yom Tif, Rabbanan Idas, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Which means, according to the Chachamim, maybe you cannot put it away for next Yom Tif. Because the Chachamim hold, the second Yom Tif is over, it becomes Tamei.
Why is it really that according to Chachamim, the second Yom Tov is over, it becomes Tamei? If during Yom Tov there was no such law, and whoever touched it makes them did not change anything to the product, why do Chachamim want to say that once Yom Tov is over, it's not good
anymore? Well, that's the question. The question over here, in fact, let me see, I'll read it, it's very clear. On one hand, since the festival does not deactivate prior tumah, and the food was retroactively rendered tumah after the first festival, it enters the next festival in a state of tumah. Or do we say, it does not acquire tumah during the first festival, okay, because it's deferred until after Yom Tov, not retroactively tumah. So if it's deferred until after Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov the guy set it aside already, so maybe it doesn't become tumah. That's the question.
Where did you read that?
Huh?
Where did you read this?
29. 26A5, comment 29.
I'm glad I never had that problem in my home.
Did you say that again?
No, the question is, the reason that food does not acquire tumah during the first festival, because of the deferral of Amma'aris tumah until after the festival. Therefore, when the Amma'aris puts it aside on Yom Tif, it's not tumah, it's tahar. And it remains tahar until the next Yom Tif.
Maybe the question is, do we really believe the Amma'aris?
That he really only on Yom Tov.
No, but that he really locked it away. Oh, so we believe that.
Oh yeah, we know that he locked it away. That's for sure.
So we believe him enough.
Right.
Zayom.
If it starts in purity and ends in purity, maybe the middle doesn't matter if it wasn't touched.
I would agree with that.
Okay. So the Gemara says v'tizbira. Doesn't make sense. You just said that when it says leave it for next Yom Tif is Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to leave it for next Yom Tif. You can sell it even not after, you can not on Yom Tif. The Gemara says v'tizbira. That's not logical because Rabbi Yehuda yigmer ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda says you can sell it after Yom Tif. So for sure you can leave it for next Yom Tif. Why does the Braisa say Rabbi Yehuda says only according to you that you could leave it for next Yom Tov? You don't have to leave it for next Yom. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can sell it right away. So Gemara says, okay, just reverse it. The opinion that says you don't leave it for next Yom Tov is Rabbi Yehuda, which means you don't have to leave it for next Yom Tov because you can sell it right away. And Hadik Tani Yanichana Rabbanon. And this is a Chachamim hold. The Braisa that says, you could leave it for next Yom Tif. The Gemara says, that's Rabbanan. Ay, Milo Yinichena. So what does it mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to leave, you don't have to leave it. He says, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to leave it. It means you don't have to leave it. You can sell it even before Yom Tif. Ela Shein Yitzrich Ela Anicha. And the Poskim write an interesting thing. The way the Gemara is learning now, according to the Rabbanan, you could leave it for next Yom Tov. That's what they're saying. The Braisa that says, leave it for next Yom Tov, is the Chachamim. Which seems to imply that you would be allowed to leave it for the next Yom Tov. By the way, they asked, the Rambam says he can't. And they asked, but the Zuchera from our Gemara comes out, you could. But the fact that the Rambam says he can't leave it for next Yom Tov, and from our Gemara, the implication is that you could.
Well, so where did the Rambam
leave? So the commentators of the Rambam explain where he got it from.
I'm glad I never lived in a country like that.
Good. And they were glad they didn't live in America also, because it wasn't discovered yet.
I was better off.
Okay, now the Mishnah is all the way at the bottom of the page. Now, one more, this is very interesting, Gemara. And Yom Tif, all the Amoratim were in the Beis HaMikdash. Not only Yisraelim, but believe it or not, there were a lot of Kohanim that were Amoratim.
What are Amoratim?
Illiterates. That are not that religious. Now,
don't let Leo
the Kohanim, what? Yeah, first, don't, second, doesn't matter.
Don't let Leo pressure okay. you say that.
Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim worked in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tif. Right? Now, if there are Ma'aretz, they touched the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash.
How is it possible that there are Ma'aretz?
But Kohen had to be a scholar?
Well, no, but I figured, you know, if they're going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, they better know something.
They know what they have to know, Kohenim, but they weren't necessarily so careful in the laws of Tumah. So now the question is, after Yom Tif, everything becomes Tameh, so what did they do with all the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash after Yom Tif? So the Mishnah is going to say now that after Yom Tov was over, they purified all the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, with a few exceptions. Why? Because Kohanim, who were illiterates, touched it. Yisraelim, whatever, whoever came into the Beis HaMikdash was full of people. So they were Tomei, and therefore all the Kelim, they had to purify the whole Beis HaMikdash after Yom Tov.
Isn't anyone that comes to Beis HaMikdash need to be pure, Tahor?
They are doing
yomtif. It could be pure from certain tumas that they were pure from, but not from other tumas.
If that's the case, what they touched also is, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Let me see if they. I'm just trying to think. Was it the Kohanim also? I believe it says the Kohanim. One second. Maybe it doesn't refer only to the Kohanim. It could be refused to just to you know, Amoratim were granted free hand to go around the place, so maybe they were made things tummy.
We're not only talking about Yom Tov in this case, we're talking about the whole year.
No!
Only Yom Tov?
Only Yom Tov.
So everybody's Tahor on Yom Tov.
Right.
So everything is Tahor, and
then
after it becomes Tameh because they were touching it.
Right. That means they lifted the Tumah ban on Yom Tif, but the second Yom Tif is over, it all became Tameh retroactively.
Doesn't make sense.
Why?
Previously said if he was to
lie. We just said Amoris doesn't lie on Shabbos. The second Shabbos is over, he's not trusted for what he said on Shabbos.
Maybe Rabban.
But in the two previous cases, they say if it was left in purity and found later on next year, it would be pure.
Yeah, but now, now becomes the next day after Yom Tif. It's not Yom Tif anymore. And remember, the Chachamim hold right after Yom Tif, you can't sell the stuff anymore. Right? You can leave it maybe for next Yom Tif, but you can't sell the stuff during the week because it all becomes Tameh.
And that's logical.
Since when are the laws of purity and impurity logical? The whole Tumah law doesn't make sense from top to bottom. You know, the Rambam says at the end of the laws of Tumah, the Rambam says a dead body doesn't make you Tameh and a mikveh doesn't make you pure.
No.
God says a dead body makes you Tameh and a mikveh makes you pure. Let me explain to you something.
The Rambam
says. Leia mikveh metayer v'leia mes metame. It's gzera kosev. Well, I don't remember exactly what I'm saying. It's gzera kosev. I'll give you an example. To purify a guy, you need 40 sa. Yeah?
40 what?
40 sa. It's a certain measurement of water. You have 39.99999 sa. And a guy goes into the mikveh. He is Tameh as he was before. You telling me that 3 drops of water is really going to make the difference?
I'm with you.
Doesn't make sense.
Where do they get it from that during Yom Tov it's not, and then right after it becomes Tumah from the same place?
The Chachamim lifted the Tumah because, either like we said before, they're all, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, they're all Chavedim. You have the unity, the camaraderie, not to differentiate amongst Jews. The Chacham said, on Yom Tov, everybody's equal.
They don't have to get it from the Torah, they just made it up.
They got a Tanakh, a Pasuk that says they're all Chavedim.
No, but we have.
We're talking about Rabbinic Tumah over here.
Well, we have a proof in Torah. When a Kohen declares it, it's Tameh, otherwise it's not.
Yeah, so, did that make sense?
Right. We have it.
Rabbi,
all these laws don't make sense.
Your Chevra has a lot of people who regard themselves as way above most of the Chevra.
I know. So, Mishava and Ego, okay. Now the Mishnah continues, says like this. Mishava and Ego, once the Yom Tov is over, Mavid and Altaris Hazara. It says they remove all the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash and they purify them. Now, Ovid and Ego, Yem Shishi, what happens if Yom Tov was over on Friday? That means Yom Tov finished Thursday, so the only day to purify everything was Friday. So because he didn't have enough time, they covered Shabbos. They didn't take off the vessels on Friday. Even though the Yom Tov was over Thursday. So Friday, everything is becoming Tamei. So they should have to purify everything Friday. The Chacham said, you know, there's no time. Because of Shabbos, and plus we'll soon learn other jobs that had to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Chacham said, you know what? For Friday, it's still Tahar.
Extended.
One second. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Rabbi Yehuda says even more. Afli Yom Chamishi. If Yom Tov finished Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, the Kohanim were so busy getting things back to normal, the Chachamim said, forget it, even then you don't. You don't do it until Sunday. So the Mefarshim asked, what do you mean? It's Tameh. What do you mean? So the Chachamim extended Yom Tov to Shabbos.
No time for all that.
No, it says, you know what the big job was? It's interesting. It says, there's one line in the Gemara here, Tana, Sheina Kainim Pnuim Milahitzi Badeshin. You know, there was a mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshin every day. We read it about it in Kabbanis every in the morning, not by Mincha. Vahitzi Sadeshin and Milchutz and Machane. They burnt a lot of stuff on the Mizbeach, right? So there's a lot of ashes on the Mizbeach. Every day the Kohanim had to take out the ashes of the Mizbeach and put it, bury it somewhere. Okay? Yom Tov, there were zillions of karbanas going on. Every Jew brought a karban and there were additional karbanas. There were tons of ashes on the Mizbeach. It took a Kohen a lot of time to clear off the ashes. Because ashes are not an easy thing to... It flies around in the wind. It's especially a big job to clear off the Mizbeach.
Rabbi, you never...
One second. The Kohanim were so busy. The Kohanim were so busy clearing off the ashes after Yom Tov. Plus Shabbos, the thing getting ready for Shabbos. So there was no time to purify all the Kalim. So the Chum said, you know what? If Yom Tov ends Thursday, it's going to continue Yom Tov into Friday. Sunday, they'll purify the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says even the next day, Thursday, we're also going to allow them to take care of the Mizbeach.
In other words, people didn't have to treat those days as a Yom Tov, did they?
No.
Okay, it was just extended through those days.
You know, throughout your whole life, you never once identified which Yom Tov.
Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So the Mefarshim asked, but l'chei, it's not Yom Tov anymore. So they said the Chacham extended Yom Tov until Shabbos. So the ban of Tumah was lifted until after Shabbos. After Shabbos, they had to purify everything. And then the next Mishnah, we don't.
I want to stand a moment. Do you mind?
Kates and Mavid and Altaris Hazara. So the next Mishnah starts, how did they, all the way at the bottom of the page, how did they start purifying the Mikdash? It says, Matpilim es ha-kelim shoyu b'mikdash. They would table the kelim, all the kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Va'emlem, and they would say to the Amaratzim Koyanim, they would say to the Amaratzim Koyanim, he's oral, be careful not to make things tame. Shlo tigo b'shulchan, not to touch the shulchan. Now, it's going to... It's late. We're going to start this mission again anyway. Next week, there's a Fabreng in Yutis Kislev with a meal and the whole thing. Everybody's invited. You're going to get the flyers tomorrow. And 2 weeks after that is... No, 6 o'clock. 2 weeks after that is Hanukkah. So, starting tonight in 3 weeks, we'll have the next Gemara class. But the dinner is like this. Shulchan, the table of the showbread... They were not allowed to. They weren't able to table it in the mikveh, because the Torah says it has to be lechem panim lefanai tamid. It has to be constantly there. The shulchan was never allowed to be moved. Oh, then we're going to see. Then they would put a new one in, whatever. But therefore, they basically never tabled the shulchan. So once everything became pure, they had to tell them, "Ratzim, don't touch the shulchan." Because if they make a tummy, it's going to be a big problem of how to purify it, because they couldn't do it. It says, although we generally do immerse the shulchan if it became tummy, that's only biblical tumma. But rabbinic tumma, they weren't allowed to. Okay.